KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, we have partly cloudy skies, 42 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny today, the high of 67. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Wellcove. The Atlantic School District's Board of Education will hold a work session this evening. During that 5:30 p.m. meeting that begins at the High School Media Center, the board will hold an overview and discussion with regard to technology, teacher leadership compensation, the Middle School Link Center, and the High School Educational Opportunity Center, along with a budget and monthly reports. Elsewhere in the news, more than 3,600 workers are helping construct a $2 billion fertilizer plant being built near Sioux City, and hundreds more workers will be hired soon. The workforce at the sprawling CF Industries plant is more than double what the company originally had planned. Project Director Nick DeRoos said the construction peak will be in late October or early November, when more than 4,000 workers will be employed. Work on the three-year project is about half complete and will likely continue well into March. Inclement weather and other problems had slowed construction, prompting contractors to increase staffing to meet the targeted completion date. When finished, the plant will triple the complex's production of ammonia, which is used in nitrogen-based fertilizer. Officials are linking a grease spill in southern Iowa that's been linked to a fish kill. The State Department of Natural Resources says Osceola Foods, a food processor in Clark County, reported Sunday morning that a pumping station had failed. As a result, grease water mix spilled into the ditch that leads to the White Breast Creek south of Osceola. Officials believe the mixture may reach the creek. The DNR says the mixture left small dead fish along a 1,500-square-foot stretch of the ditch, and straw bales were used to block the ditch as part of a cleanup effort. Test results show various levels of dissolved oxygen levels in the tributary system. The agency says it will continue to monitor the cleanup efforts. A new national survey ranks Iowa dead last among 50 states for the growth and prosperity of businesses owned exclusively by women. Jane Armstrong, director of the Iowa Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, says the ranking by American Express is a disappointment, but it's one they aim to improve upon.
It did show that Iowa is last in the nation for women business owners, but we think with the energy that we're seeing in the past couple years in Iowa that things are about to change.
The study placed Iowa 50th for the combined economic clout of women-owned businesses based on factors like growth in the number of firms, growth in firm revenue, and growth in employment between 1997 and 2014. In two of those categories, it showed the revenue in women-owned Iowa firms fell nearly 4%, while employment by such firms fell nearly 22%.
There's so much more that we need to do to empower women throughout the state and encourage more to get into business and to help the ones that are already in business to grow and take it to another level.
She questions whether the survey's numbers are entirely accurate, as she says that many businesses might not have been counted, as the women are in the 50-50 partnerships with their spouses. Armstrong notes Iowa has a rich history of women being involved with family-owned businesses, especially in the agricultural sector. Georgia was tops in this year's survey. The latest USDA crop report shows 5% of corn and 7% of soybeans have been harvested, while some farmers have been kept out of the fields by wet weather. ISU Extension crop specialist Joel DeYoung says early farmers in the fields in northwest Iowa are finding higher than expected yields in the 60 to 70 bushel range.
I'm not sure I've talked to anybody that's set upper 50s. I've heard lower 60s to lower 70s. And occasionally you hear somebody in a county or two north of here that maybe will get into the upper 70s on an occasional field. So, you know, the range is pretty wide like it is every year. But in general, the range seems to be a little higher than it has. And, you know, 60s and 70s, both of those seem fairly common from the discussions.
He says the weather was good for the bean crop, and he said farmers have learned a lot about how to manage the crop.
Their timing of planting is better. Many of these producers are more aggressive on weed management. They're more aggressive on insect management. Put all those practices together, they're all little benefits that give us higher yields. Technology and improved genetics is important, but management has increased a lot, in my opinion, for soybean also.
The Extension crops specialist says soybean moisture levels have been ideal for the beginning of the harvest season.
There's a dock if it's over 13 or if you average or at least over under 14. We need to be under 14% at least, maybe 13%, depending on the relationship with the local elevator. In general, most people right now from what are harvesting are just under that level.
DeYoung says if the moisture level drops down too far, it could create additional problems for farmers.
That's why producers are in kind of a hurry to actually get out there. They want to make sure that they don't have that hidden loss occurring from having too dry soybeans. And then the second side is, when it gets that dry, it doesn't take much to shatter them out. So whether it's even throwing the residue from the past next to you, shattering some beans, or we get a hailstorm come through, then we can shatter a lot of beans. So when it's ready to go, producers really like to get them out of the field to reduce that risk.
Young estimates that at least 10% of the soybeans within the region have already been harvested. The news was brought to you by Well Cove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.